Welcome back to Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition for the last 30 years. If you are just joining us, this is the 8 o'clock hour. This is one of those random times of the year. We ended up with five Saturdays in a month, and we bring in special guests. And we're talking edibles this hour at Rosie on the House. The beginning of the hour, it was all the edibles that the native Indians and the Spanish explorers were eating over the last couple hundred years, a couple thousand years, that just grow native here in the desert. And this half hour, we're bringing in Farmer Greg talking about all the experimenting you've done and your fruit tree program and all the edibles that, when you Mormon tea's not enough and you need a good old orange, or you brought us some more lemons this Saturday. Oh man, I love a lemon.
Aren't they nice?
How to successfully grow and enjoy. One funny thing that I talk about was when they look at the native tribes and what likely happened, mm-hmm. and the drought and everything, I always wonder if citrus had gotten here from Asia a couple hundred years earlier, how different would
this space have been?
Would it have been? Would that have sustained a lot of the tribes around?
It would have helped.
But we have it now.
There you go.
So how do we get started? Let's talk about the fruit tree program. First off, start off edibles. What is your favorite? Gary and I were making a bet about that this week. What do you think, if Farmer Greg has a favorite, that would be? I didn't even know where to start. I didn't have a guess.
Well, my favorite thing to plant is a fruit tree.
Okay.
Because you plant it once and it makes fruit for decades and decades. In fact, I've lived and grown fruit trees here in the desert now for a little over 40 years. And the lifespan of apples, peaches, apricots, plums, the stone fruit, the softer flesh fruits is about 25 years if you treat them really well. I have two citrus trees in my backyard that were planted in the 1930s, and they're still thriving and making amazing fruit every year. So plant a fruit tree.
It got through the Depression.
There you go.
That's a good tree.
There you go.
And how many wars?
Yeah, that's
right.
True.
Right. So, and my favorite fruits are the Caracara navel, which is amazing, the gold nugget mandarin, the Trevita orange is a really nice one. Those are all, for us, wintertime fruits. And then my favorite soft fresh fruit is the desert gold peach, which ripens about mid-May, and the Katy apricot, which ripens also about mid-May, which is just amazing. So
for the color alone, I would plant five more peach trees.
Yeah.
And the Caracaras make a really nice Italian cocktail.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I have some friends that have a special recipe. And when it comes to oranges, I said, well, I've just got this orange. He said, no, make it a Caracara. Big difference.
There you go.
Very good.
There you go. So
I don't think that recipe's on RosieOnTheHouse.
I don't think so either.
You have to find producer Gary on.
But let me look just in case.
So a couple of decades ago, I had a couple of very interesting things happen in my life. So this was like 1998, 1999. That was the year I went back to college, by the way. And I wanted to plant some fruit trees here in town. In fact, I had made the decision, I take on epic goals in my life, I had made the decision that I was going to plant 500 fruit trees in Central Phoenix. So I had a friend of mine who had a football field in his backyard, and he had already agreed to let me plant 100 fruit trees back there. And so my first year, I was going to plant 50 trees. I was going to start with 50 trees. And I went looking around at the nurseries, and none of them wanted to play with me. Sure, we'll sell you fruit trees, but they're all retail. I didn't want to pay retail for trees, so I started looking around, and I found Dave Wilson Nursery.
Five is one thing. 500. That.
Yep. Yeah, well, I made some discoveries about that as well. So I found Dave Wilson Nursery out of Northern California, and they said, sure, we'd be more than happy to sell you trees wholesale. Nice. You need to buy 100 of them.
And you're going to do 50 the first year.
And I was going to do 50 the first year. So my first year, 1999, I ended up buying 100 fruit trees and planted 50 of them in my buddy's backyard, and I put some of the other ones at the urban farm, and I put the rest in pots. And then my friends started asking me, well, you know, I'm interested in fruit trees for my yard. What do I need to know? And so that spun off the whole education program for me around the Urban Farm Fruit Tree Program. I call it the Urban Farm Fruit Tree Education Program. And in fact, coming up in the next few weeks, I have a couple of really important classes for you to take free online. One's called So You Want to Plant a Fruit Tree. And the other one is Three Ways to Kill Your Fruit Trees. Both are absolutely imperative that you take them if you want to grow really any trees here in the desert. And what I discovered early on, you know, so like 2001, 2002, 2003, is that you could go into most nurseries and all of the big box stores here in town, and they would sell you a fruit tree that would never make fruit. And it's like, what are you doing? In fact, I even went into one of the big box stores maybe 10 years ago, and I said, you guys know that these fruit trees will never make fruit here. And one of the guys that was working there said, yeah, we know, those are for people in Prescott.
Because people in Prescott drive down to Maricopa County
all the time
to buy fruit trees.
Right?
You've got Waters Garden Center. You've got Mortimer's Nursery. That's where people in Prescott go.
Right. Go see them for your fruit trees up there. But for here down in Phoenix, you need, you know, there's several things you need to know. And So You Want to Grow a Fruit Tree is my class that I actually started giving about 20 years ago in my living room at the urban farm. And it started, back then, it started to cover the things that you needed to know. And back then, what I knew for sure was this thing called chill hours. We get about 300 to 350 hours of chill, which is anything under 39 degrees. Most fruit trees, not talking citrus here, we're talking apples, peaches, apricots, plums, figs, those kinds of the deciduous trees, they require a certain amount of chill hours in order to set fruit. And in fact, recently, I was in a nursery recently, and they had some high chill trees, 600 hours. So if you plant a tree that requires 600 hours of chill, it's never going to make fruit. And that just frosted me. It was like, seriously, you've got to be kidding. So that's a big part of the reason I do my education. The other thing is the rootstocks. Rootstocks and getting your fruit tree on the right rootstock is really important. And one of my suppliers shared this with me a few years ago. And that is that, you know, one of the big box stores, they'll go to a tree grower and say, all right, we'll take 1,000 of these particular trees. Call it a peach tree on XYZ rootstock. And those 1,000 trees get split up all the way from Arizona to Washington State, you know, across the United States, wherever these stores are at. Well, that particular rootstock may do really great in Washington State, but it's going to die here. And those are the two big things that you need to know for sure. How many chill hours you got and what rootstock is it on? And the cool thing is that I've already done that work for you in my fruit tree program. The only trees that we sell, unless we say this is an experimental tree, the only trees that we sell are ones that are going to thrive here. And I dig in deep in our So You Want to Grow a Fruit Tree, talking about that, talking about the different varieties that grow here. You know that apples grow here? You know this.
I know Anna apples grow great.
Anna?
I know Golden
Dorset.
Dorset, yes.
Yep, those are the two. Those are the only two apple trees that I would plant here. And
I planted more.
Mm-hmm.
The only ones I have left are Anna
and
Golden Dorset.
There you go. Exactly. And a big piece of, and this is something I just discovered in the past 3 or 4 years, and that is that for fruit trees, the soft flesh fruit, deciduous trees that ripen after about July 10th.
Too late.
It's too late. The fruit just cooks on the trees. So all of the rest of the apples that are low chill, so they qualify for that, and apples will likely come here on the right rootstock, they're ripening in August, September, October, and the fruit is stunted, it's cooked on the tree, they don't work.
There's no microclimate
not an easy one.
It's practical, yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm not saying that you can't do it. You know, I've heard urban rumors that there's a cherry tree growing here in town, or that there's a pink lady apple tree growing here in town. I've actually grown Asian pears on my property. Pears are a no-no in my world because they're highly susceptible to something called fire blight. But they, you know, they'll do okay if you get them started. And I had a really, really nice Asian pear in my front yard and lived there for about 10 years. And I got 3 to 10 pears a year. 15 feet over was an apple tree, an Anna apple tree, that I would get 300 to 400 pounds of apples. So you just have to make that decision. Is that something you want to deal with and spend all that time and money and energy growing? Or do you want a tree that you're going to, you know, it's going to be like a stellar tree?
I've got one of those impractical things where we have a pistachio that they say is a really low chill hour under 500. And I thought, you know, I'll take the risk because every 10, 12 years we get a hard freeze. And I wanted something deciduous. And this was coming off my pecan.
Mm-hmm.
So it was already something that was going to be on the same watering cycle. And it's a pretty tree. They've got nice big leaves. Nut trees, they take 8-10 years to even start producing. So I'm still a couple years away from seeing if, you know, they'll ever produce. And then those chill hours, you know, just because they produce the shell doesn't mean there's going to be any fruit inside. So
right.
Be curious to see. It's one of those. I had the room. I had the space. I wanted to stay with the deciduous. And the guy that was grafting them said, you know, I'd love to get one of these in Maricopa County to find out if they work. I'm like, all right, let's bring it on.
So here's the thing. I talk to people about this all the time. I love to experiment, but experimenting can be costly. Here's where it is. It's not just the cost of the tree. So if you go to a big box store and they sell you a cherry, don't buy it. But if they sell you a cherry, you take it home, you plant it, and you nurture it, and you water it, and you fertilize it, and you do everything you're supposed to do for 2 or 3 or 4 years, and it dies. Or you do, oh, this is a true story here. It's 1989. I had just bought the urban farm, my house, and my ex-wife and I were at Price Club, now Costco, and they had bare root peach trees for sale. And I bought one. I didn't know much better then, but I bought one and we planted it. And 20 years later, I ended up taking it out. It never had made any fruit. It was probably, a high chill tree. And I have, after the break, I have an interesting story to tell you about a peach at one of the big box stores.
So how many pounds could you have produced in that same spot if it had been a producing tree?
Exactly.
And that's where it costs.
So if you are going to experiment, know that it's an experiment and then it's costly.
Gosh, Price Club. I forgot they used to be called Price Club. That's a blast from the past.
Yeah, there you go.
I remember the one time I bought gas under $1 was from Price Club right after I got my license. And then shortly after, it was up over $1. And it hasn't never gone backwards. We're talking with Farmer Greg. And we are talking about the fruit tree program, but I'm going to make you talk about your mesquite mill, too.
All right.